And welcome to another episode of Roscoe's House of Chips. And with us, as usual, we have D-Man, myself. We have Chody. We have
not yet a nickname
for Wade. And special guest Todd today. I really hope I got his name right, because I'd be a total douche if I didn't. It's Todd, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
Nice.
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing real well. I'm wearing Speedos right now, so, you know.
Nice.
I've never met a person who wasn't happy wearing Speedos, right?
Are we talking the Speedo thongs, or are we talking the Speedo thongs?
We're telling those small Speedos, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, I've never met a man who wasn't happy while wearing those.
Indeed. I would just go commando at that point. I would be one of those people who would be like, you know, if I got this little thong with my big ass that I have, I'm let it all hang out.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, you're not hiding much anyways.
Well, exactly. I mean, they wouldn't be seeing much anyway, even if I was naked, right?
So. All I'm saying is I've heard stories, and it's a bush.
Man, y'all just silly up in here. Terrible.
Don't be racist.
I'm not racist. I hate everyone equally.
Thank you.
All right. So apparently I'm leading tonight. So what we wanted, this was great because, as they did mention, I enjoy having topical conversations. I'm sure you're aware we are not of the religious persuasion, but I enjoy having these conversations with people that are. The problem that I found with a lot of people I talk to is they usually end up getting upset at some point, and that's not at all what I'm trying to get at. So just to have a decent discussion and basically say, this is what I believe, this is what I believe, and we're all still friends at the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Todd?
Right. Right.
No, we
kind of had... What?
I was going to ask Todd, does he see that same thing coming from... I guess, first tell us, what religious church do you...
I belong to the LDS church, Mormon.
Okay.
Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Nice. My one of my best friends is LDS, actually. He's down there right now, him and his wife.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. Right on.
Yep.
Right on.
But, no, the kind of conversation I like to have, because one of the first things I try and let people know, I am not here to try and change anyone. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think a lot of people assume when we have these conversations, is that I'm trying to prove that I'm right and, you know, you need to believe what I believe. Not at all. It's just a simple discussion
right.
of this is what I believe, this is what you believe, and, oh, you know, that's pretty good. So, and like with a lot of things, I believe this, you know, I believe what I believe because of what I have gathered throughout my life.
Yep.
So I'm not saying that what I believe is right. It's just what I feel it is. And I think when people, it kind of bugs me when people go on and they're just saying, well, no matter what, I'm right and you're totally wrong, because we all don't know. And that's my thing.
Yeah.
So
let me go back to your point about the whole changing people thing. I wanted to tell the story real quick, and it kind of bugs me and makes me laugh all at the same time. I was home and got a knock on the door, and I don't tend to answer my door unless I know who it is. And so I knew that they knew I was home, and I don't like to be rude either. So I was like, crap, I got to open the door. Open the door, and there's three decent-looking girls standing outside. And I'm like, all right, what's going on? And the lead girl, she hands me this paper and is like, we'd like to invite you to have a discussion with us about the afterlife. I was like, okay. And I kind of took the paper and was holding it, and she was asking me, so what do you think is going to happen after you die? And I was like, well, I'm not quite sure. I don't think that I believe what you believe. And she looked at me and was like, so you're an atheist? And as I explained in the podcast before, more agnostic than anything, but simple exchange, yes, I'm an atheist. And I was handed her back the piece of paper and I said, here you go, you can have this back. But it's okay. What you believe doesn't need to make sense to me, and what I believe doesn't need to make sense to you. Thank you. Have a good day. Close the door.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second and say their reaction could have been more to your appearance, not the fact that you were saying you weren't of their religion. Just saying.
I think it was more the fact of no religion.
Oh, okay.
And so it gets better. A couple days later, my wife is at home. She's trying to get ready for work. And two more people decide to show up to the door and do the same thing. And she got the feeling that it was the pastor or the priest or whatever. I didn't even figure out what church or religion or anything. I'm assuming they were either Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses because they're the ones that are known to do that. But they weren't wearing any kind of uniform except for the two people that showed up afterwards. They were both wearing suits, and she was thinking it was the pastor and whatnot. I tried to ask her the same thing, and she was trying to get ready for work, and she was like, no, thank you. I'm trying to get ready for work, and just close the door on them.
Oh, man.
Sorry, it's too funny, because that's what I think one of the biggest factors for me that bugs the crap out of me is the whole, like Dave said, the changing people. You know, going door to door and thinking that you can change these people's lives. And I'm sure there's people out there that need it, but when someone says, no, I'm an atheist, pretty sure they know what that means and how it affects their lives, and you don't need to say, oh, they're an atheist, I need to save their soul. That I don't like.
Well, as a guest, I appreciate you inviting me on. I think, if I may say, I don't mean to interrupt, but
no, go ahead.
I really think things like this are really, really important, where, you know, people of different backgrounds and beliefs and you know, just in general, can talk together and kind of learn from each other, I think, and, you know, realize that, you know, by the more you learn about, you know, Abraham Lincoln once said, you know, I don't like the man, I must get to know him better. And that's what I believe, you know, it's just like, I think we need much more of that, of understanding and realization that, you know, people are just people, and we're all pretty much good people. And, you know, the more you get to know the person, in many cases, I think the more you like the person. But if I may address the door thing, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in the LDS church, you know, it's a service church. And I know Wade has had, you know, some unfortunate, you know, things happen that might contradict what I'm saying. But for the most part, it's a service church. So I think when they go out, it's not necessarily to change someone. It's to, you know, we always say, you know, make a better person better, make a great person greater. And I think, you know, that's the idea of going out, is to, you know, just make a person, not saying that they're bad or anything, or want to change them. It's just to add to what they already know, make a better person, you know, better. It's like we have this great piece of pie that we love, and we just want to share that piece of pie with you. It's a service church. And that's the idea of going out, is just simply to make a great person even better. And that's how I look at it. It's not.
And see, that's not ever, not for me. That's not the perception. The perception is, well, you don't believe what I believe. So
right.
I need to keep coming and talking to you to make sure that you do believe what I believe.
Right. But that's why these discussions are great, when you can have it with level-headed people that aren't getting upset.
Exactly.
Because I think that's the biggest misconception on both sides is, you know, one of the problems that I've had is I don't really spread my beliefs out. You know, I've got a lot of friends that are Christian, some that are LDS. Well, it's not all the same, but anyway, so one of the problems that I've always had is once they find out that I'm not necessarily a believer, then I see them less and less in my life until next thing you know, I'm just really not part of their lives. And that, to me, from what I understand, kind of goes against what they're being taught. And it's just kind of, it's upsetting, because I was never out to, you know, try and change them to my beliefs. And I just think there's miscommunication on both sides. I think that oftentimes people of religion sometimes feel that, you know, someone who is agnostic or atheist is trying to change them. And I think that a lot of atheists tend to think that their religious friends are trying to change them. And I don't think that that's always the case. But that's how it's perceived a lot.
Yeah, and I could see that. And you know, it is change, but, you know, I'm a lot different. I'm a different person than I'm 48 now. I'm a different person than when I was 20. So I've changed a lot. And I think, you know, when they come to your door, it's just like, well, you know, you're going to change anyway. Let's, you know, I have this wonderful piece of pie I want to, you know, share it with you. And
is it apple pie? Because I only like apple
interested.
Pie.
Me too. I love apple pie. And I think that's just the idea is to, you know, my best friend, is Buddhist. You know, my dad was atheist. My grandfather was atheist. Those are the three main people in my life. You know, so I would never look down, you know, on them. I would love to be better friends with, you know, Wade. I think very highly of Wade, you know. And
why?
And I think that's just, you know, I think that's the point, you know, that is it to make a person, a great person, better. Because they're going to change anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's make them, I guess, or, you know, this a better person better. Let's mm-hmm. That's how I kind of look at it, not necessarily change.
And I can respect that. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That is really good.
Oh, crap. I was going to say. So isn't that also called a mission, though? Isn't it like a 2-year period where you go out and do that? Am I mistaken?
It just got changed. It was about 19, 20 years old. And then the older people, once they retire, do it. But, you know, we're all considered missionaries. You know, I'm a missionary, right. But I'm not like a full-time missionary, if that makes sense.
So,
there are full-time missionaries, like probably the people that you encountered.
I'm going to interject for a minute, and if one thing you'll find is we deviate often.
Yes, Roscoe likes to visit quite a bit.
Yes. So I just want to share this story. When I was in, I went to DeVry for like a quarter or something in Arizona. Me and some friends went down there, and we came across a guy named Nick who was LDS. And he was just fun to hang out with. And we were kind of surprised he hung out with us because he was the just straight-laced. I mean, he liked to have a good time, but, I mean, even saying the word darn was kind of risky for him, you know.
Wow.
But, no, he was just a cool guy, and he hung out with us despite our antics and language and stuff. But he's a really cool guy. Well, we used to hit I-10 and drive up to Flagstaff. It's about an hour and a half drive. And there was a Denny's diner just right as you get into town. And we used to love going up there. We'd pull all of our change because we were always broke. And there was a waitress, beautifully voluptuous waitress. Her name tag said Princess Buttercup. So, you know, Princess Bride, she was great. So we're up there one day. There's four of us, my buddy Travis. And my buddy Tyler. And which was great.
Past
we also
guest of the show, Tyler.
Yes, but no, we loved this trip because about halfway there was a little tiny gas station. It was always closed, but they had the little windshield washer sticks, and we would use all three of them to wash his car, the whole car. We would do this. But anyway, so we're all up at the diner, and Travis and Tyler and I we're just talking and talking, and Nick is just sitting there. He's just being very quiet. And he's fumbling with his keys, and you can tell he's deep in thought. So that's just Nick. You know, that's how he was. So we were just going on. And then, you know, like in a conversation, there's that every once in a while, there's just that occasional little silence.
Yeah.
Okay. So we all kind of get that. And then, I mean, this is going on like an hour where he's not saying anything. We're all just kind of BS and whatnot. And then out of nowhere, Nick just is, he's still just looking at his keys, fumbling them, and he's like, I like boobs. Okay. If you knew Nick... We all just stopped to look. Travis did spit his drink out. Okay. It did come out my nose. And Tyler, we're all just like, what the? Like, did Nick just say that? And he's oblivious to all of us laughing. And he's just fumbling at his keys. He's like, I wanna massage them. and I just want to hold them. And he's being serious as can be. That's the thing. And we're just like, what is this? I don't know. It's me telling the story can't do it justice.
No, it's pretty
good.
But
it's one of those ones you would have to know him, because like I said, he was just the coolest guy, and he didn't care that we weren't. You know, that's one of the things I loved about him. He didn't care what religion we were. He didn't judge us on that, which I find happens a lot on both sides, atheists and, you know, religious. And again, one of the reasons I don't like to have these conversations with a lot of people is they get judgy, you know, on both sides. And my thing is, look, I believe what I believe based on, well, like the rest of us, on how I've been raised and what I've seen with the life around me. But I mean, who knows? You know, I believe that I'm right, of course, as we all do, but I could be wrong.
Right.
And this is the one thing I try and stress to everyone is, until you sit down and you have that one-on-one with God himself, none of us really knows. I mean, truthfully. Yeah. And so
it's a belief system.
Exactly. So for me to say there is no God is stupid. I mean, I don't believe, but I don't know. And so and I think a lot of people take that when we have these conversations. And so I wonder if that's why they just don't, you know, eventually I don't have them around in my life anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because I don't judge. I don't care what your religion is. If you're a good person, you're a good person.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. So, yeah.
You know, there's good and bad people in every walk of life. You don't judge. But there are people who are agnostic, who do judge. And just like, you know, in the LDS church, I'll just speak for the LDS church, you know, there are crappy people, you know, in the church who will judge. I mean, I know Wade probably knows several, you know, he's experienced several, you know.
Right.
There's this good and bad, and, you know, as we all know, I'm not saying anything and no one doesn't know, you know, just in all walks of life, you know, in every religion and every, you know.
it boils down to faith for the religious types. For religious people.
And I think that's the point of the scriptures. The scriptures is here. It's not a science book, or it's nothing other than a book, a spiritual book to learn about faith, and that's all it really is. It's to help us, you know, become closer to, you know, Heavenly Father, and that's really all it is. All the science stuff, I know we were going to talk about science a little bit.
Yeah,
it's completely separate. You know, we got the science. You know, the scriptures is simply for, you know, faith, and why we need faith so bad. I don't know exactly.
You know, you bring up some really good stuff here, Todd, and that's why I always like your conversations. You know, here's a question I've always wanted to ask you. So you've had children or have children in school, correct?
Yes, I do.
And so what do you tell them when they come home and they say, okay, they're teaching us about evolution or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what conversation do you have? Do you say, you know, are you one of those people that look at it and say, no, that's wrong, just listen to what this has to say? Or are you a person that kind of looks at it objectively and say, you know, that's just another version of something else? So I've always wondered that about you.
I think our church, excuse me, I have allergies, so I apologize.
Oh, no worries.
I think our church, and again, I'm just me. And, you know, you could get the next Mormon who will completely disagree with me. But for me personally, in my studies, I think our church embraces truth in all its form. And I know, you know, truth can be different for everyone, but we want truth. So if it's true, we embrace it. And I know, you know, we could say, well, what is truth, of course, you know. But I think, you know, that's a debate. But evolution, if you want to talk about evolution, I think our church, there's room for embracing evolution. So, I think a scientist, let's say, who a Mormon, there are Mormon scientists who
do embrace evolution. And so if my son came home talking about evolution, you know, as a normal parent, you know, as a good parent, we would sit down and talk about, you know, evolution. And, you know, with any topic, it would be just another topic that we would discuss. I want to make sure he's getting accurate information.
You would talk about it as you would know it to be true, just as somebody who didn't believe in evolution would talk. Just as somebody who didn't believe would also talk about it for them to know to be true.
Yes, and I know within our church there's probably more people than not who don't believe in evolution, but I think that's just them. I think they're ignorant. You know, I hate to use that word ignorant. But I think it would be ignorant to say evolution, you know, there's no such thing as evolution.
Well,
so my son came home, talk about that, I would say, yes, I would go from a standpoint that it is true.
Now, I'm glad
that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And I'm glad you said ignorant, because that's the other perception with both sides, again, is, well, you're ignorant to my beliefs and I'm ignorant to your beliefs, because the whole evolution thing, you know, it's an extreme for them, and then it's not so much for us, just as in like first thing that pops in my head is the Noah's Ark story, like the extreme of that actually happening to the actual evidence of it, the flood happening, but not necessarily the story of that happening.
Exactly, and that's the point. It's like, yes, and I, again, most, you know, with the flood thing, most, you know, we know the story. Most churches believe, you know, but again, our church, you know, it strives for truth. So if there's proof that the flood did not happen, we would, by scientists, we would examine that. We would welcome it with open arms. And me personally, I don't think it happened how it happened. I think it was a local thing. I think it did happen, but I think it was more, you know, local. There's no scientific proof that the flood actually happened how you know, most people believe it to happen, you know.
Well, right. You know, all four of us have lived in Washington, and we've seen it rain for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
That's all I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I live in Camino Island, so yeah, I know exactly how it rains up there.
Now, the interesting thing about just the flood story is that there are cultures all over the world that have a flood story. Everything was flooded. So, you know, to me, that's evidence that it did happen, if there's any actual geological evidence if it happened or not. I can't quite remember, but I do think that they found some kind of evidence looking at the layers of rocks or whatnot. So, I mean, I don't know, there's so much disbelief in that it happened, but I don't think there's enough evidence to prove that it did.
Well, here's the flaws, and here's the things too that Todd, and I'm so glad that we're having this discussion, because it had to have been just a geographic location. Because the world back then, I mean, we see the world through the eyes that we see them through right now, with the internet, with the news, and with all those things. Back then, the world was probably 20 miles large to most people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so when you're writing a story that may or may not have happened, and you put it on these scrolls and you tell this story of, yes, there was this guy that was crazy that put a bunch of animals on it, and, you know, and he said, you know, he said he was talking to God and stuff. It could have happened in a smaller form, but to base an entire system without evidence and without saying, okay, just because it says it in this book, I'm going to believe it. That's actually kind of where I challenge the belief system. That's where I believe, you know, challenge it all, is to, when you have something written 2,000 years ago, it doesn't make it more true than something that was written 2 minutes ago. Yeah.
Very true.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, God had to speak through, you know, their language. And, you know, the Hebrews, they had a very small language, the Hebrews. So, the world, they say that it covered the world. Well, the world to them, if you translate the world, they interpret that as their geographical area. So that's the word they use, the world. And that meant their geographical area. It didn't mean the whole world, the whole world. It meant just their part.
I'm glad
we kind of go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's Dave. No, I was just throwing. That's where part of the ignorance comes in. Is a lot of us who don't know the story assume it's the whole world. Maybe I.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always taught the whole world.
Oh, okay.
That's the way I was taught as well.
Oh, okay. See, and...
And that's the way it's taught mostly. It's still taught that mostly. But there's a big movement now that, because, again, the church, speaking for my church, it wants truth and only truth. So if there's no... And it embraces science. It embraces it. We always say our sources of truth are science, the script. There's three sources of truth for us: science, the scriptures, and personal revelation. And they go hand in hand. So if there's no proof that... if there's only proof that it was a local thing, then that's what we need to embrace. There's no way around it. But most churches still think it's the whole earth and so forth. But
so no, do you,
more than likely, it was just local.
So do you believe that the earth is only 5,000 years old?
No.
No.
We think
he wouldn't
that,
be able to if he believed in
again,
evolution.
Yeah.
No, and... Yeah, no. There's so much evidence suggests it's millions, years old. I think what they're referring to is potentially this dispensation from Adam and Eve, if you believe that. That's what they're referring to is 7,000 or whatever years old when this dispensation of this type of human beings.
Okay,
separate from Neanderthals.
Let me take this back again, and I'm just challenging the thought process. I'm not challenging you in any way. If at all we're talking that Adam and Eve, that in that situation, and you say that people are starting to embrace evolution as well.
Yes, embrace
that
truth.
Isn't that in a way a contradiction of itself? And can you shed more light on that thought? If you believe in evolution and you believe in the creationist theory, it kind of contradicts it, unless you can, elaborate, please.
If I understand your question right, we think, in our church, we think it's eternal. Everything's eternal and everything is advancement. Everything is, what's the word I'm looking for? Everything is getting better every day. Eternal progression, that's what I'm trying to say. Eternal progression. So you look at plants, plants from the early, a million years ago have advanced to the plants we know now, not to get too scientific. But same with human beings, there was Neanderthals, and it's this eternal progression to the point of to Adam and Eve. I mean, we may be related to Neanderthals, but we change, not just our personalities, but our, how we, so evolution is about eternal progression to the point to where we are now. Does that make sense? So when we talk about 7,000 years old, the Earth is that old. I think we're just talking about this dispensation of Adam and Eve.
Okay. I can
respect
that.
And whatever happened to Neanderthals or whatever, I don't know. But we do believe that there was Neanderthals. The Earth is probably a million some odd years old or even billion years, I don't know. But it's eternal progression to the point where we are now.
I completely understand. And Rocco just came into the room again. But this goes. This is moving a little bit forward here. Now, here lately, and Dave, you're going to really love this conversation here in the last couple of years. And I know that you're really aware of this, Todd. In Utah, with all of the gay rights movement and how
the one judge came out and said, hey, you know, we're going to overturn this law and make it legal for gays to get married and different things. Now, I've heard that there are Mormons actually coming out of the woodwork in support of the gay and lesbian movement. And then I've also heard that there are also those other, like, really hardcore ones. Is that actually causing a little bit of turmoil in the church? Are you seeing that turmoil between different people, or do they not even talk about it? They kind of just sweep it under the rug.
Hey, before you answer that question, I just wanted to point out here real quick. I have my little notepad here, and I wrote on it homosexuals, because I was going to ask that question if it wasn't going to be brought up. So, Wade, I'm glad we're on the same page. And
he brings it
up
right as you write it down.
I literally wrote it down, and then you asked that question.
No, you wrote it down because you're homosexual. That's it.
Well, Wade and I understand that, yeah, so.
Yeah, well.
Right.
Okay, so, sorry, Todd. Anyways. Please answer that question, because I...
You know, that's a really good question, that's a really good question, and I don't see, you know, I've had my own personal issues with, you know, being in class and hearing, you know, anti-Mormon stuff, which is very rare, about, you know, we rarely talk about politics, or, you know, it's mostly, you know, focused on the gospel, but the rare times that it has brought up, I cringe. And, my whole life I've been, you know, for, you know, gay rights and so forth. So I've cringed several times. I've almost left the church a couple times because it just got, you know, a little bit, especially during Prop 8, you know, in California in 2008 or 2007, whatever it was. It was very difficult, you know, for me. But I think the church is changing, and it has to. Otherwise, it will that rift will happen, and it'll be, you know, pretty bad. But I think the belief system in terms of going into the temple, I think you know, you have to be a worthy member, and I think those things won't change. But in terms of how we treat people, how we look at people who are homosexual, I think are changing. I think they're more open to it, more understanding to it, and I've finally come to the realization, I think, that it's not a choice. In you know, 99% of the cases, it's not a choice. You're born gay, and you know, and why that happened, who knows? But you know, people have Down syndrome, or I'm not comparing the two, but you know, people, you know, have mental issues and Down syndrome and such. Why that happens, you know, who knows? But you know, we'll figure it out, you know, in the afterlife, you know.
I really wish that I and you're gonna blush when I say this, but I really wish Mormons, like a lot of them, were like you and most of them, because I really feel like you are the best Christian I've ever met.
I know you said that. Thank you.
And it's because of these reasons. It's because I really don't believe Christ would look down on gay people. Not for one.
I would
second.
Agree.
And I really
absolutely.
And I don't really believe that, you know, if we're all part of the same kingdom of God, and that's what's been told of us, it's been told to us, that I really don't believe that God would look down on homosexuality if it was something that was created in his kingdom.
Yes.
So,
it's more than just sex in a bedroom. That's kind of what it is. But what I think is great, though, is this is forcing this issue. It's forcing an issue in Utah, and it's forcing an issue within the church itself to make the decision of whether or not they're going to have their preconceived notions anymore, and whether or not to prejudge people. And I really think this is not just a great step for homosexuality, but it's a great step for people like me who came into this outside world and from the outside and looked into it and was pretty much shunned and turned away. It actually is taking away those preconceived notions, and it's going to just only help you guys. It's only going to help, right?
And I need
I
need to interject here for a moment.
Most definitely, it's really good to see this happening. You know, it's also kind of funny too. I have to admit, it's good to see the church on the defensive. You know, a little bit. You know, like having to defend themselves, having to say, why do you treat people this way? It's good that, you know, that they're in the corner. The church is in the corner right now on this situation, and it's quite frankly, it's good to see. It's kind of funny to see, because for so many years, you know, they were on the offensive. They were the ones that were calling, you know, homosexuals, you know, perverts, and using shock, you know, shock treatment on to try to change them. They're the ones that were, you know, treating them very poorly. You know, saying I love you, but you have to change. You know, because something's wrong with you, or you're less of a person, or something. Now it's completely, you know, reversed and
going back and, to changing people.
You know, it's good for society, huh?
Going back to the whole changing people. There, you know,
exactly.
that mentality of, oh, you're not the way that we want you to be. We have to change you.
Yeah.
I mean, shock therapy. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
But what the fuck? that's
yeah.
really fucked up.
Yeah. So, that's really messed up. It really is messed up.
So I was just wanting to interject a little bit.
Only when our beliefs are challenged, though, can we grow.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, yes. when we take that, you know, this goes right back to your Buddhist friend and the way he believes. Only when we look within ourselves can we realize our own flaws. And we can, I can look at you, Todd, and see a million flaws. I can look at Cody and see, oh, God, I can't even imagine how many flaws that man has.
Dude, I've got a running total still.
Yeah, that he just got a counter. He just keeps clicking it.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, just counting the flaws. We can point out all the flaws in each other all day, but pointing out our own flaws is the hardest thing to do. And I really think that it goes back to that bubble that my wife and I talked about with the Mormon Church. I don't know if you heard that show or not, but it goes back to that bubble. They put that protective bubble around them to where they almost felt like there wasn't an outside world. And now it's nice to see that they have to challenge their own beliefs, not just the ones of others.
Okay, so I'm going to try this for a third time to interject. Sorry. So, yeah, squirrel moment. I really hope that the church does look on the issue of allowing outsiders, if you will, into the temple. This is one of the things that actually got me really upset about Mormons for a while. My good friend that lives down there, okay, he's my oldest and best friends. I mean, his dad and my dad were best friends, and he and I were only born like a couple months apart. So he's literally the person that I've known the longest in my entire life. Him and his wife got married down there in the temple. His mom and his dad had to stand outside while he got married. They couldn't be there, and they had to stand outside. I got to tell you, that's such a big slap in the face, and that really bothered me. Really bothered me that they could not be there in the building to watch him say his vows and get married, and I have a real problem with that. Granted, he could have also thought about that and not done it in the temple, but that really got to me, and that really, really hit me hard.
That is really annoying, and I'm sorry I'm touching my mic stand. But I want to change the course of our conversation here from us. Wow, talking. Sorry, we have new equipment and we're still trying to get used to it. We're not actually holding the mics.
We're bumping into it.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's unusual. But I want to change the course of the conversation to, because I don't want to say that we've been attacking Todd, but I do want to say we've been attacking Todd. We've been having all these questions for him, and I want to open it up to Todd asking questions to us.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't feel attacked at all. I don't feel attacked at all. I feel very welcome, and I really appreciate, you know, you guys, you know.
Well, and
me,
I don't mean,
know,
like a personal attack. I mean, like, we're attacking you with all these questions about your religion and your faith, and I want to turn the tables on to us, and I want you to ask us the questions now. What do you have for us?
Well, you know, I was a convert. You know, I'm 48 now, and I've been a member for 15 years. So I've lived a life outside the church, and you know, I felt like I was a very good person, and you know, and I you know, and I feel like I'm a better person, you know, now, whether that's because of the church or if it's because of just general growing, you know, I'm 15 years later, or both. But I just really appreciate, you know, that I think we can learn from each other, and I think we definitely can learn from each other. And, but I think some of the things you might have a problem with, or things that you don't like, or whatever you want to call it, I think it's mostly, if I may say, I don't mean, ignorance sounds horrible, but I wish if I could think of a better word, I would. But I think mostly stems from that, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think, again, what, you know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, I hate to bring him up again, but he says, I don't like the man. I must get to know him better. You know, that was his mm-hmm. response. I must get to know him better. It's the same with topics, I think. I don't like that topic. I must get to know it better or understand it better. And I think
science.
That's a lot, you know, to do with that. So if that makes sense.
No,
I can elaborate, Dave, like really mm-hmm. what it was with that. I know it bothered you, and I know it's going to sound like I'm defending religion here, but I'm, you know, it's weird, you know, but to them, the temple is the holiest of holy places.
Oh, yeah.
And if they allow one person in that is not worthy to go, then the floodgates would just open.
Oh, yeah.
And to them, that's where they hold their most sacred things and their sacred rituals. And so, to be honest with you, I can understand from their point of view why they remain shut.
Oh, yeah.
But I also can tell you right now, Todd, from the other side of the spectrum, it almost seems creepy to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
If you guys went into the temple, I think it would be, it would be creepy, and that's a lot of reasons why they don't really let people go. Anyone go in the temple? They let people go in the temple that before it's dedicated, you know, to let people like walk around and browse around and stuff. But you know, it'd be foreign to you guys, and so what we say is, you know, just you know, learn about the temple and. You know, it's the house of God, so I don't know why an agnostic necessarily would want to go in the house of it's just, yeah, you're right, Wade, it's just very sacred. You know, my brother got, before I joined the church, my brother got married in the temple, and half the family was really upset, so I know exactly where you guys are coming with this. You know, my brother getting married, I can't go to his wedding, my gosh, you know. Dumb Mormons, you know, darn Mormons, you know.
Well, I think why we would want to go into the temple is because... we want to know, you know, there's truth there, there's knowledge there that would make us better people, right? But
you wouldn't understand it right away. It would be like
true.
You, like my son who's 12, it'd be like him learning calculus. He wouldn't start at calculus. We're saying, you know, let's teach you about the temples. Let's get you informed. Let's, you know, and then. Because once you join the church, it's still another year before you could go in, into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very sacred. You wouldn't understand it, you know, when you went in.
Now,
so
now,
let's get you.
Is the temple, and again, I feel like we're attacking you some more, but is the temple just the one temple in Salt Lake City, or do they consider all their churches temples?
They're all temples.
They're all temples, okay. Because...
Well, temples are temples, yeah.
Well, but
okay,
to a point,
so,
because...
The church has churches, the Mormon church has churches as well as temples. So there's temples in Salt Lake City, there's one in Manti, and there's even one in Seattle. And those are the buildings that we're talking about that people can go into. You can go to the church all day.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and you can go, and that's almost, and I hate to use this word because it's almost like ignorant... The church is almost the indoctrination center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Because that was the story I was going to share. Back in middle school, I had a friend who was Mormon and knew him through school and Boy Scouts and whatnot. And I actually was able to go to a service at the church. And that's why I was asking the question, because there was no, like, year waiting period, and there was no conversations that I had with him. You know, we had religious-type discussions, but they were never about, well, you need to be a Mormon in order to go. It was just like, hey, do you want to come with me? And it was like, okay, yeah, sure, we'll see what this is all about.
Right. And I do want to comment on something, though. You know, as I was talking before about how I was so upset that my friend's parents couldn't come in, but one thing I didn't really elaborate further was at the same time, because it doesn't upset me as much now, because even though I was bothered that they couldn't come in, also I have to acknowledge that my friend chose to have a ceremony where he knew his parents couldn't go. So that's kind of partly on him.
Yeah.
In a way. So, I mean, really, years have passed. I'm not upset at anybody anymore. It's just that after a while, I kind of, you know, what you were saying is about the temple and that being that place for you guys. I mean, I understand that more now. Mm-hmm. You know, as you get older, and so I'm not really offended by that. So, but if you can, I know we were wanting you to ask us some questions, but if I can jump in here, because I just want to hear the other side. I, as I've told these guys, I also do a lot of, because I'm big into astronomy, I'm also big into psychology. And I like to throw out there a lot that, I just want to hear your response to some of these. So, what I feel, again, I'm going to say what I feel, not what I know to be true.
Yes.
Oftentimes, I've had friends who, you know, they'll have a kid, newborn, right there in the hospital, and they'll look into their kid's eyes, and they see God right there. Or, you know, someone will be struggling in life, and then they get back into the church, and all of a sudden, they do feel better, and they feel that the involvement in getting back into the church is what is improving their lives and making them feel better again. And for me, I would argue that when you look into your child's eyes for the first time, it's going to be such an overwhelming feeling that your brain automatically goes to that rather than it actually being there. So your brain is just so overloaded with, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing in my life. And so your brain automatically goes to God because that's what you've been telling yourself is the almighty creator of everything. And just the same when I've had so many friends, you know, something bad will happen or they'll just be depressed or whatever. They get back into the church and all of a sudden they start feeling better and they attribute that to scripture and getting back involved, where I would argue that knowing the human brain and how we, how the brain works is the reason why they start feeling better and the reason why their life feels like it improves is because they're already going into it with the belief that it's going to. Yep. Not that what they're doing is actually making a difference, but it's actually, without them realizing it, it's their mentality of already going into something with the belief that it's going to change them, and that is why they feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious to what you think about that.
I think the church is such a personal thing. It's so personal. You know, and you know, you just can't explain. You know, when you pray, how can a Heavenly Father hear a million prayers at once? You know, that's impossible. How does that happen? It's just, it's so personal. Your relationship with Heavenly Father and everything like that. It's personal. So I think
the faith and the power of God.
Mm-hmm. I think it could be both. I don't know. It could be either or. It could, you know, anything is open for whatever. You know, when I pray to Heavenly Father to give me a safe trip to when I drive to Seattle, and I make it to Seattle, you know, safely, is it because Heavenly Father granted me a safe trip, or is it because I prayed and by praying makes me more aware of the possibilities of getting an accident, so I'm going to drive more carefully, you know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. It's your own personal
belief.
Neither one is right or wrong. You know.
Yeah.
Neither one's right or wrong.
Like
it's
I say,
your own personal.
You know, that's just kind of what I feel. Again, not what I know to be true.
Yeah.
So like I said, there's a lot of those things that I feel are. Psychology comes into play a lot more than people ever think to realize. And I know myself, just a little bit on my background, I was never raised in a church. My parents never went, but they never pushed anything on me. You know, they never said that there was no God. Nothing like that. It was just something that was never talked about in my house. And, you know, when I got to the age where I start talking to friends who go to church and stuff, and so I'd ask my parents, and they're like, well, you know, we don't, it's just not our thing, but I was very happy that they never talked bad about it. And their thing was, if you want to know about it, find a friend and go with them. You know, I thought that was really cool. And I'm very aware that part of the reason I believe the things I do is because I never went as a kid. And I think a lot of this gets instilled in children, which is, it's not that I have a problem with pushing religion on children, but in a way, I mean, I guess maybe I do. Maybe that's why I'm having this talk. It's
because they're
because
not old enough to make
our
the decision
our brains
for
are
themselves.
Still developing.
Yep.
And so that thing is going to stick with them as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, you know, I've had those struggles in my life, and I've had friends that I've gone to the church with because it's like, you know what, I'm struggling. I need to understand why we're here. You know, something that everybody goes through.
Yeah.
But every time I would go to the church and every time I would listen to sermons and everything, I just felt like it was somebody talking about a fairy tale. And I was always just kind of like, these people actually believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never, that feeling never grabbed me. That you know, I went into it because my friends are like, you know, this, you're going to feel so much better when you get connected. I just never could. You know, I went into it with that belief, and it just didn't work for me. And what happened when I finally was able to just accept my life and finally be happy was when I finally just accepted, I don't know. And now I'm fine. You know, I don't think things happen for a reason. I think they happen just because they happen.
Cause that's
I mean, really, you know, I think it's kind of interesting when these huge disasters happen and people thank God for sparing their lives. Well, what happened to all these thousands of people who died? I just don't see how people cannot understand that if you believe that everything happens for a reason, that means God set
for
he set in motion this event to happen to kill so many people. I'm sorry, I have a real problem with that.
Now, see, Todd, I'm like you. I'm a convert as well, except from the
opposite way.
The exact opposite way. And the reason I bring it up is because that's exactly what happened to me. Somebody that I was very close with ended up passing away, who was one of the most religious people I'd ever met, was the kindest, generous, heartfelt woman you would ever meet. And then she had an aneurysm and two strokes.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
question that invaded my mind was, why this doesn't make any sense. Why would God in his almighty wisdom decide to take one of the best people in not just my life,
in a lot of people's lives?
Her funeral, standing room only.
Oh yeah.
Out the back.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there, but I knew who she was. I'd met her a few times, but she was. And she, you know, she knew my beliefs then too.
Mm-hmm.
And she accepted me with open arms. I had nothing but respect for her. I only met her a couple times, but
She was really great. Was one of the best people I've ever known and will ever meet. And for that to have happened, I still tried to believe after that happened, but I just had this nagging question in the back of my mind, like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would this happen? You know, why? And that question couldn't get answered. And that's when I started to think to myself, well, because there is no reason why, because none of it is supposed to make any sense, because that's just the way life is.
Yeah.
You do with it what you
really
want.
Really, really difficult questions. Yeah, they're difficult questions that require a lot of time to discuss and talk about. You know, my best friend, who's a Buddhist friend, the greatest guy, you know, he's my best friend. He's, you know, he's Buddhist now, but he's Buddhist, but he was Christian growing up, and he's Serbian. So he was really involved in the Serbian Yugoslavia war and such. And, and he dropped his aunt and mother off at the bus station, and his aunt and mother got on the bus, started driving off. They were waving to each other because they were going off somewhere. I can't remember, the aunt and the mother, and my best friend was waving goodbye. And at that moment, that the bus blew up by the Croatian.
Oh, shit.
You know, and at that moment, he's like, "I'm not Christian anymore. I'm this you know, a true, you know, Heavenly Father who's in charge of all and could do all, would not allow this to happen. And, you know, he switched to Buddhism, you know.
Yeah.
Fantastic, wonderful guy. I love him. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely a stickler. But it requires a lot of time on a lot of discussion, this subject, you know.
I really like having you on, I got to say. And I would actually like to have you come back. I think we should do this
anytime.
A few more times, because this is great, and this is exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all talking, nobody's getting upset at each other, mm-hmm. I'm actually interested in what you say, you know, and this is great, because I'm not... No, I know that sounded bad, that's not what I meant. But I just get the feeling that we're all sitting here talking, and when someone's expressing their views, the other people aren't just sitting there quietly shaking their heads like, wow, what an idiot.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really great, because it sounds to me like there's a lot of stuff that we all just kind of want to talk about. And mm-hmm. so I say, let's just keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, let's do this again and again if you're okay with it.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, I would love to.
I mean, I'm not trying to end it right now. I'm just saying.
I ditto D-Man. What? I didn't diddle D-Man. I ditto D-Man. I'll diddle you later.
Here's something that really interests me about Todd. Like, he's a world traveler. So this guy's been around. Like, every time you go onto his Facebook page or whatever, you see, like, you know, he's been to Thailand and Ireland and different places. And do you think that that's kind of affected your belief system, like, where you have differed a lot from people in even your ward and even in your community, is the fact that you went out and seen the world for what it was and seen all these differing opinions? Did that affect your belief system at all?
By the way, 34 countries, baby. 34 countries.
Oh, wow, congrats. Nice.
That's
anyway, thanks. I don't know. I can't answer that, because I my immediate response would be most definitely. But, you know, in our church, there's, you know, it's you know, there's, you know, people from all walks of life. You know, it's been difficult, at least here in Grand Junction. I think people here, you know, are a little bit less traveled, a little bit less worldly. I think they succumb to, you know...
They live in the bubble.
They're really not that far away from the Utah bubble. And the Utah bubble has its effect. It does have its effect.
Yeah. And it's been a struggle. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen Field of Dreams. It was a long time ago, 25 years ago. But
love that movie.
There where... there's a scene there where Kevin Costner is in a town discussion, and someone brings up masturbation, and Kevin Costner's wife are just shaking their head like, oh my gosh, you know. That, and I'm not saying I'm better than anyone or worse than anyone or whatever, but that's kind of how I've felt that way a lot. I've had to just shake my head and say, oh my gosh, you know. But not so much when I lived near Seattle. But, you know, here in Grand Junction, is, you know, it's more of that bubble, like Wade said, I think. A little bit less, you know, of everything, I think. Still good people, but just, you know, kind of in that little bubble and such.
But it just makes you go.
Does that answer your question, Wade?
Crap.
It does. The other thing I would like to ask you, too, Todd, is have you... When you've gone around the world and you've experienced these different cultures, in a way, now, has there ever been something inside of you when you've experienced these other cultures and said, well, I'm almost drawn to that, and how do you put this? When you've been visiting these other places, have you ever seen a different culture where you almost feel like is more welcoming than ours, even? Like, what I mean by that is, like, welcoming than, like, Christianity or something like that, and you kind of wished your church or the Mormon church themselves was a little more welcoming like that in comparison. Does that make sense?
Well, I think so. I you know, when I before I joined the church, I went to my friend's Buddhist church a lot, and I've never felt more welcome there than anywhere else. You know, they're just so loving and embracing of the world and understanding of the world, and all they wanted to do was, you know, just, you know, help people and serve and more importantly, make themselves better people so they can, you know, serve the community better. You know, it was always looking in the mirror and how can I make myself better versus, you know, changing or whatever, you know.
Be the change you want to see in the world. Be the change rather than to change others.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, the man in the mirror, like Michael Jackson says, you know, take a look in the mirror. But I felt very welcome in your house during that barbecue. I felt very welcome there. I feel very welcome now. I think it just comes down to what kind of people that you're more comfortable with, you know, whether mm-hmm. they're religious or not. Just, you know, I feel very comfortable around, you know, Wade, for example, because I, you know, he's honest and true to who he is. And that's the kind of people that I'm drawn to. You know, what you get, what you see is what you get, you know? So I think it just kind of comes down to that. The people you're around.
You know,
that's awesome.
I was kind of thinking
I really like that, Todd.
That next time, you know, when we have this discussion and have Todd back on, I actually want to call and see if I can't get my other friend on, kind of get a supporter of Todd there.
Yeah.
So we can have it more even there.
That'd be great.
I think that'd be fun to have us all kind of go on there. So that way.
That'd be great.
Because I'm really happy to hear that you don't feel like you're being attacked, because that's not what we're doing.
Oh, no.
And so I'm really happy
welcome.
To see that. So I just think maybe next time it'd be nice to also have someone, I don't want to say on your side, that doesn't sound right. I mean, just so it's not like three views versus one kind of thing.
Three against two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually want to kind of go along with Wade's topic of the kind of challenging the belief system, but also go back to the whole homosexuality thing, because if the Mormon Church is going to be more open to homosexuals and homosexuality, which is great. I'm a full supporter of homosexuals, and they're just same people as we are. It doesn't matter what they do in the bedroom. Let them get married and pay as much taxes as we do. Fuck it. But doesn't that really just challenge the entire belief system of the Mormon religion? Because I know for a fact that in the Old Testament, and I forget which book it is, but there's a verse that says, the way I read it, you know, I know there's many different versions of the Bible, but it said homosexuality is an abomination. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if they're to go off of what the scripture says, their belief system wouldn't necessarily say no to the people, but no to the fact that that's the way they are, and so they're an abomination. And if they live in this bubble and they want to keep the abominations out of the bubble, I don't know what. Oh, my phone's about to die. Still got plenty of power, but if they're going to try and keep these people that, according to the scripture, have a view or live in a such a way that is an abomination, but now they're going to be letting these people more and more into their belief system, doesn't that just kind of change everything about it?
You know, the scripture, there's, and I'm going to try to answer the question, but in the scripture, there's 3,000 or 4,000 verses of, you know, love thy neighbor, serve one another, mm-hmm. serve the least of thee. So that's what Christians need to be. That's their only job, is to love one another and serve one another. To judge.
Wow,
anything
that's
else,
awesome.
No, but anything else, you know, me personally, I'm out the door. Anything else other than that, I'm out the door. I'm gone. So, how I understand that one verse, I think there's only like that's one verse of the abomination.
Yes.
How I understand that is Heavenly Father was talking about a village or a city, and that city was corrupt. It was doing whatever it wants, and And
Sodom
so
and
he
Gomorrah?
Was referring to just, I don't know if it was Sodom and Gomorrah or another, it might have been, I don't think it was, I think it was another town, but either way, it doesn't matter, but it was talking about that one specific time and place, speaking to those particular people. That's it. You know, that's what the Bible kind of is. It's talking about a specific people at a certain time. Everything is kind of separate, you know. You know, in today's time, he could be talking about Grand Junction, you know, but not maybe not Denver, for example.
Yeah.
So it's like one specific time in one specific place. It was an abomination. Everyone was having sex with everybody. So he was talking about that one particular, you know, place. But unfortunately, you know, people got carried away with that and have, you know, treated gay people throughout time, you know, horribly because of that one, you know, verse. But it really comes down to there's 2,000 or 3,000 verses of love thy neighbor, one verse of abomination. So we know our Heavenly Father really wants us to do. And that's the essence of Christianity is love one another and serve one another. And me personally, if there's anything other than that, judging or being mean to someone, you know, especially a minority, you know, I'm out the door. I don't want anything to do with it. So
yeah.
Well, you know, it always seems to me, Todd, and again, I welcome you with open arms into this world. You're awesome because it just seems to me there's too many people that have a cross to bear,
yeah,
and not enough people that look at the situation like you do and say that really all we're there to do is serve each other.
That's our only job as a Christian, even as a people. You know, I say Christian, but Christian specifically, since we're talking about Christians, that's our only job is to love one another and serve each other. That's it.
Absolutely.
That's the essence of Christianity.
That's from my experience, being the convert that I am, that's what I've learned about the Bible in particular, is that it's more of a guidebook to life and how to be a good person. I just don't necessarily...
Yes.
Sorry, there's cats going nuts.
Crazy cat.
You know, it's a guidebook, and not necessarily believing, yes, in the fact that somebody was died and resurrected. It's kind of funny, actually, that we're having this conversation in this weekend is Easter. You know, died and was resurrected for our sins. But the fact that there are these stories on to love thy neighbor and do not murder, you know, the Ten Commandments basically are,
yeah,
how I do believe, and I feel like I try to live my life in that same way, mm-hmm, just without that belief, yeah, system.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think, Todd, that we as a society need religion to keep us as good people, or do you think that it's just that on a personal basis where some people need it and others don't, or do you think that, what's your belief on that? Do you think that we need it structurally as a society in order to move forward or be good people?
That's a loaded question. And, you know, my short answer, yeah, it's an awesome, awesome question. You know, I don't know. All I know is, again, my best buddy is Buddhist. My father, you know, is agnostic. And my grandpa, you know, the three main, you know, people in my life, you know, that I love, you know, were all non-religious people. And they're wonderful, wonderful, loving, better people than I've met in my church. You know, better than me, you know. And so the short answer is probably no. I don't think it necessarily needs – it's a really loaded question. I would say no, it doesn't necessarily need religion. You know, Christianity doesn't have a patent on morals or happiness or nothing like that. It's just
– almost kind of goes back
to
your
– great people better.
Right.
You know?
I was just about to say that. Kind of
– yeah. You know, and then – bad people who may have never served in their life, they have that basis now where they could go out and serve, you know, or, you know, so Does that answer your question?
No, that does.
Kinda.
No, it really actually does. It does, because yeah. One line that I like what you said is that Christianity doesn't have a patent on being good or whatever, because I genuinely like to see myself as a good person. You know, like we all do. I think Hitler mm-hmm. seen himself as a good person, but
sadly but true.
I think
yeah.
we all genuinely like to see ourselves as good people. But really, to me, and this is, and I guess this might sound a little harsh to you, but to me, I think that most of the wars and the problems of the world have been because of differing belief systems and differing religions. And I think that how do we tackle that as a people and stuff if everybody's got so many extreme beliefs that they're willing to die for them? How do we tackle that without getting rid of religion in general?
No, you guys might know this, but more people died in the name of religion than all the wars combined throughout the entire
right.
recorded
history.
History
and I don't want to say science, recorded documents, I guess, would say, for years past.
Yeah.
That really wasn't, I didn't say that as well as I meant to, but the words escaped me, but something along that.
So throughout recorded history, you know, more people died in the name of their religion than they have in world wars, little wars, revolutionary war.
A lot of wars were started.
So how do we tackle that, Todd? What's your thought process? What do you think we should do as a people?
It's tough. You know, my favorite guy outside my family or friends is Bono. You know, he's my favorite guy. And he you know, a few too. And he says, the problems of the human, of us humans is the human heart. The problem, and I'm not saying it right, he says the problems of the human is a human spirit is a human heart. I butchered that. So it's the heart, you know, it's our hearts. And you know, I don't know how much we could blame religion on these things. You know, it definitely gives, you know, them a platform to, you know, go out and do bad. You know, Hitler do it with the Jews, you know, his point of view is like the Jews killed, you know, Christ on the cross. So I'm going to get back with him. But the point was, he's a sociopath, you know, and
just wanted to just kill everybody.
You know,
yeah.
So what you're saying is that religion just gives them that platform in order to create the chaos they already wanted to create in the first place.
What do you think? I think maybe so. I mean, I don't think so.
What I really think is look at the Middle East, and you look at the turmoil, you look at groups like ISIS, these are all religiously charged groups of people that have been indoctrinated into a belief for over 2,000 to 3,000 years and been told that other people are infidels, been told that other people are horrible. And it goes back to, like, again, the treatment that, like, I had. It wasn't as extreme. I'm not saying that bombs went off. But what I'm saying is it goes back to that belief that we are better than you because our God is the right one. So how do we tackle that for our children? You know, is it just having these conversations like these? You think so?
Absolutely.
I think having these kind of conversations are what will save the world. I really do. Mm-hmm. It's understanding one another
and trying to eliminate
the ignorance.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Jinx,
but
you
and, yeah, and ignorance. Also, to be fair, I know that a lot of the radical groups, your ISIS, your other things like that,
the extremists,
have kind of branched off. And I know that people of the Muslim religions and things like that are like, no, we do not believe what these guys did. They're kind of Hitlerized. They took it to a whole other level. And, you know, but still,
that's easy to do when they focus on that one scripture and not the entirety book. So, like, again, like Cody brought up with the whole aspect of homosexuality and the abomination, and then Todd came back with well, there's 2,000 scriptures that they love one another. Well, what they did is they took that one scripture and they spun it and they made it this disease that is haunting a region of the world. And I'm sad to say that Christians are just as guilty of those same things. And I'm not trying to offend you in any way. If I come across that way, I apologize. But
I think
really,
you're right, though, Wade, because not only is it just besides that one region, but you look at any cult, and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They take one aspect of it, and they twist it to turn it into the power that they can control and get other people to believe, and then next thing you know, people are drinking the Kool-Aid because Hale Bopp is flying overhead.
Mm-hmm. And what was the group there? The main guy just died. I think it was last year or the year before, that weird, crazy, redneck Christian people down in the South. The ones that were always protesting.
They were Baptists.
The Westboro Baptist
Thank
Church.
You very much.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, talk about a... Yeah, extremist. I mean, granted, they weren't killing people, but they're, I mean, showing up at people's funerals.
They made their
things like
known.
That. I just, wow.
You know, yeah, that's definitely
so
what
Todd,
they did.
Yeah. Here's another aspect. I apologize, Cody. I'm telling you, turn off your vibrator, Cody. It's fucking right there.
Sorry. My wife is texting me.
I'm not trying to steal the show or anything like that, but really what I'm really curious to ask, man, you made me lose our train of thought. Nate was right, but what does it make you angry or does it make you frustrated when you, as
sorry,
the fucking thing is out of control. It is out of control.
Funny thing is, I can't hear it. But
does it make
yeah, I don't hear it either.
Does it make you angry or frustrated to hear when people use the name of God to hate? Yeah. Because we're all connected in my mind, and you know, because we're all connected, you want a better society, and you want everything to be better. You know, we're all connected. You know, I just think there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of people with an agenda who are power hungry, who there's just a lot bad, you know, and you know, it's just too bad because we're, mm-hmm. you know, we are all connected in my mind, and it'll affect you and your family, you know, and it's unnecessary. It's a lot of mm-hmm. Almost all our problems, it seems like, are just self-inflicted,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just seems unnecessary.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's why.
Would you equate that to when somebody does that to taking the Lord's name in vain? When somebody uses the mouthpiece of God for their own personal agenda, would you deem that as taking the Lord's name in vain? I just think they're a sociopath I don't know. I don't know if it takes Lord in vain. I know that they're if they're doing bad, you know, if you know that they're wrong. You know, like the Westboro Baptists, where in the scriptures do you go protest? You know, funerals. I just, where do you find that? And how do you get past the love thy neighbor part? And how does that get overridden? You know.
See, and to me, that's definitely trying to force your beliefs onto others.
Absolutely.
To show up at someone's funeral. Wow.
Yeah.
See, I would have loved to have gotten some of them on here, because I guarantee this show would be very different. But I think things like this are so beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, needs to be spread out more.
You know, and what's really good, Todd, is you're right. Questioning and answering each other and having these conversations is really what would save the world. I think that in the past, we used to pick up guns and ask questions later. And I think now, with the world being as small as it is, we're able to come on forums like this or Facebook or whatever and really just have conversations with one another. And you know, we're missing the opportunity to love one another and love thy neighbor, like you say. If we don't mm-hmm. if we don't use these things for freedom and joy. And this brings me to another topic, and I wanted to discuss this with Todd tonight, and I wanted to ask him before we go. I wanted to this is something. My dog's barking because my wife just got home, but this this is a subject that I actually I watched a video. It's on TED. Have any of you guys seen any of the TED videos on YouTube?
The TED Talks?
Yeah.
Oh,
great.
Yes. Love them.
Yeah, there's a lot on Netflix as well.
Okay, so I wanted to bring up one in particular because I watched the video and it made me cry, knowing what I know about our world and how it's shrinking and what I believe God truly is. In Egypt in 2010, are you guys aware of the revolution that happened back in 2010 in Egypt?
There was, yes. I don't know full details, but I recall what you're talking about.
There's a great movie about that on Netflix. So, documentary.
Right. Right. And so you might already know what I'm going to talk about, but on TED, they brought a guy in that was actually involved with that and how really what started the entire thing was Facebook. And how there was a Facebook page. Yeah, there was a Facebook page created for a guy that was executed for being a quote-unquote a rebel, you know, an enemy of the state. And if I'm right, I may be a little wrong here, you know, but this Facebook page was created. And they started getting viewers on this Facebook. And they started getting people talking about ideas. These Egyptian people were talking about these ideas of, you know, wow, this – you know, we could be more free if we live like this, or what about this? And they decided to go out and protest silently and turn their backs on their government, which started that whole revolutionary process. And people ended up in jail that started the Facebook page. And there was a whole bunch of things that happened. But in the end, due to the information and due to the discussion of people coming together like we're doing right now, they earned their freedom. And to me, the power of that is so powerful. I brought tears to my eyes because that's what makes this, you know, I feel so blessed because I live in a place, in a country, in an area where I can talk about these things and I don't have to hide it.
Absolutely.
And where we can
very lucky
we
for
can,
us.
We are very lucky because we can talk about these things, and whereas
we don't have to worry about going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm blessed about that, and I hope you will agree, Todd, with that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My truth is that we're, you know, I feel like I'm right, but it's my truth. But you have your truth, and everyone else has their, you know, truth. But the bottom line is that we're all good people, and
right.
And we all could be friends, and we all could, you know, sit down and have a cup of coffee together, and
you don't get to have coffee.
About. I don't get to have coffee. I have Diet Coke. I'll have Diet Coke. You know.
All right. 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 Make sure it's caffeine-free Diet Coke, Todd.
That's right. I'm Diet Coke. I'm the only Mormon who's ever been in. I call myself the only Mormon who's been into an Ireland bar ordering a Guinness. I'll tell you that story sometime. But
I want to hear that story. But, we'll save it for next time.
Crazy story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we.
That's my. You know, we're all just good people. You know, and. To respond to your question is, you know, I hope I'm responding how you ask, but we're just good people trying to, you know, have a family or whatever and get through life, you know, however we choose to do it. You know, no one's better than anyone else, or if you want you're sharing your truth, I'm sharing my truth, and you know, maybe we can learn, you know, definitely we can learn some things from each other. And
I definitely respect you,
you know, that's how I look
for
at it.
Sharing your truth.
Very
Todd.
Much so, yes.
This conversation has been awesome, and I completely agree with Dave that we need to. There's many, many more topics that
we need to continue and try and also get others on.
Yes,
with him and
another thing that I would really love to hear about too, Todd, is your world traveling and where you've been. We need to get into that.
Definitely. I would love to hear those stories.
Traveling is the best.
I've never left this country.
traveling is the best education, I think. You know,
never been to Canada.
Probably the best education that I know of. You know, traveling. You know, definitely.
For sure. So,
but
with that,
yeah, we're almost at about an hour and a half. So I think we'll.
Yeah, and Wade's wife just got home.
Kind of put a bookmark in this one and come back to it.
Definitely.
Awesome, so, awesome. I got to go, guys, and thank you so much for talking to me, Todd.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really,
thank you so
really
much for coming
it.
On.
Thank you.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah, thank
you. So we'd like to have you back.
Thank you.
Please,
thank
whenever
I'll be
you
more than happy to.
Whenever you like.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully
my
sooner
pleasure.
Than later.
Anytime.
All right.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll call it a night and
find us on Facebook, please.
Yes.
We the more likes the better, my friends.
Yes.
The more likes the better. Roscoe's House of Chips. Also, we are on the Twitter, Roscoe at Roscoe's HOC.
Gmail.
At gmail.com, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Roscoe's HOC at gmail.com. If you have any questions or opinions that you want to share with us, but
please
may
do.
Not necessarily want to share with everybody else.
Message.
Yeah. Yep. Please communicate with us. So.
Go Hawks. Go Hawks.
Yes,
go
Hawks.
Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Yes. Nice.
With that.
By the way,
did you steal that?